Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone. Here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all at geico.com. Here's something I threw out during the break in the other room. If you're the Sixers, do you contemplate trading Joel Embiid this summer? I know that sounds crazy. Sounds crazy because that dude is a monster. He is a force. But Ben Simmons is at his best without Embiid. The Sixers are better with Embiid, but Simmons is better without Embiid. And unfortunately, I really hate to say this, but the injury concerns remain. And that's a that's something, I'm not saying they should for sure, but I wouldn't just summarily dismiss it. Let me ask my next guest, because I respect his opinion, fan of his work, Tommy Beer, NBA analyst for NBC, Roto-World, Basketball Insiders, Forbes. That's a lot of credits there, Tommy. Yeah, how many you gonna make? How many commas and another place I gotta read?
I think you got them all. You know how it is, just trying to hustle and keep some checks coming in somewhere.
No doubt, man. Well, what do you think of that? Like, it was just a random thought I had, but do you think it would be insane for the Sixers to consider trading Joel Embiid? Because I think the Sixers are clearly better with Joel Embiid, but Ben Simmons is clearly better to me without Joel Embiid, and you're dealing with this now history of injury problems, unfortunately, because Embiid, it's such a great player when he's healthy.
It's definitely a very, I hadn't thought of it either, fascinating question, some interesting thought experiment. I guess it would all depend on what you could get in return. If a team was willing to give you value for Joel Embiid, I'd certainly consider it. But I'm assuming you'd have to take back, what, 70 cents in the dollar, 60 cents in the dollar? And at that point, the upside of Joel Embiid is a top 5, top 10 player in the NBA. So I'd have a difficult time passing up that type of talent unless I could get something really promising back. I understand where you're coming from and the fact that you kind of build your offense and your franchise around Ben Simmons. But I would just have a problem watching Joel Embiid flourish somewhere else if he could stay healthy.
Well, on the flip side of that, some of that responsibility has to go to Ben Simmons, right? Because the biggest reason, you know, I don't think they'd ever be a perfect fit, but the biggest reason the fit is awkward, and I say that in the, acknowledging the Sixers are really good, but to be the best version of themselves, the biggest reason it's slightly awkward is the lack of the jump shot from Ben Simmons. I mean, at what point, you know, the guy's an excellent player, but he's too talented to be a liability in any way. At what point is that almost negligence on his part?
I totally agree with you, Rob. It is a fascinating case study. He's just such a freakishly unique player, especially in today's NBA, that just the predominance of three-point shooting is prevalent throughout the league. And I was looking at the numbers yesterday. There's only 4 players in the league that have dished out at least 1,000 assists this millennium, so dating back to since 2000. There's only 4 players in the league that have dished out more than 1,000 assists and not made a single three-pointer. Shaq, Zaza Pachulia, Joakim Noah, and Ben Simmons. Those are the 4 players. So it's just, and to think about, you know, that's a point guard that has an ability to take over game as we saw in game 3, but just his inability to even attempt a 3-point shot, to not look to improve it in the offseason is somewhat mind-boggling. I agree with you.
Do you think they easily close out that series against the Nets? The fact that they won game 3, does that close the door there?
I think so. I mean, the Nets obviously needed to win that game without Embiid. We'll see if Embiid plays game four. The Nets were a pesky team. They've been kind of playing that us against the world card the entire season. So I expect them to come out with some force and some fire and some effort, and certainly make it an interesting game four. I wouldn't be shocked if they won game four, but I do expect the Sixers to win the series, if not in five, then six games.
Robin Lundberg talking to Tommy Beer, NBA analyst for NBC, Roto-World, Basketball Insiders, and Forbes here on CBSSportsRadio.com. You know, I've really developed a bit of an affinity for the Nets. You know, living in New York for so long, and part of me wanting to be a Knicks fan, but then seeing ownership the way it was, and then the Nets dig themselves out of that whole. Basically, I say, like, Sean Marks was tasked with emerging from a bomb shelter and rebuilding civilization after the trade from before, and they really had no fan base. So to see them get out of that situation, look like they've got the proper management going forward, and finally sort of create a bit of an atmosphere, I think has been a really impressive feat, and I now take them seriously going forward. How about you?
Absolutely. I think you have to give a ton of credit to Marks and Kenny Atkinson, obviously, for the kind of the culture they instilled. Like yourself, born and raised in New York, eager for the days that we can cover meaningful basketball games beyond February or January, for that matter. So it's I definitely welcome the resurgence of the Nets. And I think that's the key point, to come out from that arguably the worst trade, not only in basketball history, but sports history, but to come out the other side and have a competitive playoff, you know, battle-tested team, I think is a great credit to both Marks and Atkinson. And hopefully the Knicks will, you know, be able to bring in some guys this summer and get it to develop a legit rivalry, because the city certainly needs it.
Do you think, when you talk about bringing in guys this summer, do you think the Nets are, you know, because I think the Nets actually make a lot of sense for Kevin Durant. They would give him, you know, he's just plug and play on that team. All of a sudden, they're contenders in the East. You add Kevin Durant into that roster. They would give him New York without some of the baggage that might come with the Knicks. Or do you think the players in the league, you know, only think of the Knicks as the viable spot? You know, because it's a weird thing, because the Knicks have been the event, and Madison Square Garden is the place, and definitely the box office. They've just dealt with the management issues. How do you think the players view that?
I would assume it's on a player-to-player basis. It seems like KD and obviously his business partner, Rich Kleiman, is attached to the Knicks, you know, a Knicks fan growing up in Manhattan. So it seems like there's a little bit of a pull there from the KB perspective. But, yeah, I totally agree with you. If you could switch the Nets roster and their management structure and their ownership and place them inside Madison Square Garden, I assume KD would obviously prefer that mix of players. You know, the only other issue with the Nets is they're going to have a little bit of a tough time creating enough cap space. Right now, they'd probably be in the low 30s. They might have to, you know, non-tender Hollis Jefferson in order to get, you know, because it sounds like KD wants that max. He's going to, you know, $38.1 million is the initial starting annual salary. So the Nets, assuming that they re-sign D'Angelo Russell, which obviously would seem like a no-brainer at this point. Well, I guess it depends on how much he demands, but it probably looks like they'll have to give him the max, which is kind of the consequence of being a competitive, good team this season. It seems like, you know, from the players you talk to, that the Knicks are obviously the preferred destination. It'll be very interesting. But all it takes is one player, one quality player to view, you know, the Brooklyn as a at least comparable, you know, especially when you consider roster and management, et cetera. So it'll be very interesting to see. But my guess is that the Knicks would obviously be most players' first choice.
Would you give D'Angelo Russell the max?
If you would ask me, you know, 6 months ago, I would have said no. If you asked me 3 months ago, probably not. I would still probably, I think there's a lot of players with a comparable skill set in the league that you could find similar to D'Angelo Russell. But I have to give him credit for playing in that environment, proving that he can do it in New York with the Nets, with that roster as currently composed. I probably would bite my tongue and kind of clench fists. But I think at this point, he's kind of forced the Nets' hands. I think he's earned a max contract.
Yeah, I agree with you. Part of it is the intangible aspect of it. A franchise that didn't have a face or an atmosphere got one that got a guy that created it. And then you also have to consider he is 23 years old, right?
Yeah.
So this probably isn't the best version of D'Angelo Russell we're going to see, and it's still pretty good.
Absolutely. And he embraced that challenge. You know, he came off a somewhat down year last year. He really, you know, it sounds like he put the work in, put the time in, stayed healthy this season. And as you mentioned, he's, what, 2-3 years away from really scratching the surface of his prime. So there's a lot to like there. You know, obviously was highly touted coming out of Ohio State. So, again, I don't think it's a no-brainer, but I think it's probably a decision they're going to have to make.
Robin Lundberg talking to Tommy Beer, NBA analyst for NBC, Roto World, Basketball Insiders, and Forbes here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, let's shift gears to Kevin Durant for a second. I was critical of Durant earlier this week, basically when he skipped out on the press availability, not because I was offended on behalf of the media, but it just seems to me like Durant wants to be the best player in the league, but doesn't want what comes along with being the best player in the league. But the simple question about him right now is he currently actually the best player in the league?
Nah, I'd lean toward Giannis on Antetokounmpo. When you consider the all the things that he can do on both ends of the floor, you know, 6-7 years younger than Durant. I'd probably have KD 2 or 3, you know, but I, as far as best player in the league at this current moment, I'd go Giannis.
What about where do you factor in the LeBron factor there? Because to me, the way I put it is like, you don't lose the title by disqualification or count out, right? Like, you got to be pinned or submitted. And while it's very possible his reign at the top of the league is over, very possible considering the minutes played, the age, the injury, it's also very possible he's still the best player in the league because he looked like the best player in the league in December.
Great point. You know, it's funny that the fact that he's, you know, that out of sight, out of mind really is, you know, I'm as guilty as any is to be a prisoner of the present. But you're right. It's coming off the injuries and, you know, the fact that he is 34 years old. But we got to remember, this is a guy that averaged the triple-double in the finals, the last finals that were played. He was just beyond reproach in terms of his dominant capability. So I'd certainly have LeBron in the top three. I'd want to see him. And I'm personally of the belief that he's going to have a huge year next year. I don't know when the Vegas odds will come out about who will win MVP next season. But I'm going to put a bet down on LeBron because I just think he's going to be motivated. You know, he's never been one to shy away from hard work. He's going to get in the gym. He's going to be determined to play 82 games or, you know, how many ever games next season and prove that he's still at the very top of the list. So I think he's definitely in the conversation. So I definitely would have him in that top three. You know, obviously you can't go wrong with either him, KD, or Giannis at this point.
All right. The last thing I want to get into is the Warriors and the, you know, foregone conclusion. They're going to win the championship the last few years. This is the first year where I at least think there's at least an inkling of doubt because, you know, Houston has played them so well and is playing so well at the moment. And I'm also becoming more and more of a believer in Milwaukee. How many teams do you think actually have a chance to win the championship? I would say it's those three, Warriors, Rockets, Bucks.
I have the Bucks coming out of the East, but I don't think that they could compete with the Warriors. So I do think that they would. I do think the Rockets are the only team that can knock off Golden State. I think if the Bucks do advance to the finals, assuming the Warriors are there as well. 24 years old, you know, Giannis in his first game on a big stage, Budenholzer coaching, you know, in his first finals against a team that literally can, you know, has done this day in, day out. You know, just I think that experience level, there's nobody on the Bucks roster that just has that type of mentality and that has the type of experience that does play a part, you know, your first time at a dance. But I agree with you. The Rockets are just an interesting – it's just a fun question. I think that second round matchup with Golden State is going to be fascinating. On the flip side, unlike the Bucks, the Rockets have been there and done that. You know, we know about them being up 3-2 in the Western Conference Finals last year. Obviously, assuming Chris Paul stays healthy, they're playing with a ton of confidence. They're just shooting the ball so well right now. James' problem is just a something that the rest of the league can't.
You
figure
call him
out
James' problem, James Harden, yeah.
But he is a problem for anybody trying to guard him. So yes, I do think that I've always been of the thought that the Warriors would cruise to a title, and I still certainly obviously assume that they will. But I certainly wouldn't be shocked at this point, considering how well the Rockets are playing, considering with the confidence they're playing with. They seem to be really set and comfortable in their approach. And I think that's kind of in the Warriors' head a little bit that this team's scary. We don't want to fall down behind 3-2, et cetera. You know, should the Warriors, you know, get in a little
little bit of a hole? Will there be a little bit of sniping between Durant and Draymond Green if they see the kind of the end of the dynasty in the offing? So I think it'll be a fascinating series.
All right, Tommy, appreciate the time this morning, man. Have a good weekend.
Thanks for having me, Robin. Be good.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.